Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy snow day for everybody in the Northeast. This is Glenda Geek from sunny Ocala, Florida.
You have to say happy snow day again to those people, poor things. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's March 6th, 2013, episode 608, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. To another week, halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is hump day, Wednesday, only a couple days, and you are into the weekend again. And I got to tell you, Jamie, we have a special guest here in the studio. I posted a picture on our Facebook page this morning. Our adopted bug, Callie Francois, is here.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to welcome you from live from Ocala. I'm so happy to be in Florida officially now. Just got the approval to ride 2 weeks ago, and now I'm headed back.
Terrific. So, we're going to talk a lot more about her recovery and how well she's doing and how she's heading back to the track in southern Florida.
Glenn said earlier, happy snow day to everybody, and I just kind of laughed a little bit inside my head.
She's been living in snow in Wisconsin for the last 3 months now.
Yep.
So Callie's joining us in studio today.
Are you, Callie, going to be staying in Florida for the remainder of the spring, or are you just taking a little trip? What's the story?
Right now the plan is I'll stay until the meet's over with, and then general consensus, I'll probably head back to Saratoga at the end of April, beginning of May. So just here for about 2 months, maybe a month and a half.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on being back in the tack.
Thank you. Very much appreciate it.
She made us feel really lazy and fat this morning because the first thing, she gets up at 6:30 and she goes and runs this morning, takes our dog out, our greyhound out for a run, and then comes back and does all kinds of exercises and stuff, which I haven't seen in years. So made us feel inadequate this morning. She did a good job of it.
Yeah. Glenn's like, what are those odd, strange-looking things that you're putting on your feet? You're like, they're running shoes, Glenn. Running shoes.
Well, today we, of course, are playing the Wheel of Trivia. So give us a call to play. We have some new things on the wheel, too. We're very excited about Uncle Jimmy's products. Everybody knows Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls and licky things and Uncle Jimmy's squeezy things. All of those things are on the wheel today. Plus, Karis is giving away a pair of breeches, Jamie. That was just announced yesterday. They agreed to give a pair of Jennifer's favorite, the bootcut breeches, worth $100. So they're on the wheel for everybody spinning today. Plus, we have a clunker prize we'll talk about. We always have one of those. So it's going to be a lot of fun playing the Wheel of Trivia. And I see there are calls already coming in. You want to get in line at 347-637-3238. We're going to start the game in about 5 minutes after our daily winnies. So get your calls in now. And it looks like Jennifer – you know what? I forgot. We have a problem, Jamie.
What?
Jennifer is on strike. She said she's not playing producer today. She's not going to take the calls because she wants to call in to win because she needs a new pair of Carrot's breeches.
Well, maybe if her husband would get, you know, a credit card every once in a while and hand it off to her, then she wouldn't need to call in.
That was not the kind of support I was looking for, Jamie.
You know what? when you're talking about a woman that needs some equipment for riding, she's going to win in my book every time. So there.
Thanks, partner. Really appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right,
go girl.
Let's
girl
do our daily winnies here. We usually have a couple of regular segments that we do on Wednesdays, and I'm not sure we're doing those today. So what's coming up today is the Wheel of Trivia. I have a crappy list, a generational crappy list, seeing we have three generations of co-hosts here on the show today, and we're going to talk about that. In addition to some news, and we're going to catch up with Callie on what she has going on in the world of racing. So all of that is coming up, but first, I have a daily winnie. Well, my daily winnie goes out to a listener by the name of Kate Taylor. I don't remember ever giving her a daily winnie before, so this is probably a first. She wrote on our Facebook page, I rode in my new saddle pad that I won playing trivia on Horses in the Morning radio show. Thank you so much. And I think that must have been probably a Riders for Helmets saddle pad. So we appreciate her posting. I told her she had to put a picture, though. We want pictures. We want to see her
yeah.
riding. Yeah. So she said she would get us a picture. So thank you for posting that. We love, by the way, if you win stuff, we love pictures of you using the stuff, unless it's like underwear or stuff. Then don't post it.
Well, I don't think, Glenn, we're giving away underwear.
Oh.
No, you don't have to stop. But I just said I don't think we'll ever give away underwear, so I don't think that'll be a problem.
You know what? If Under Armour wants to become a sponsor of our show, I will give away all the underwear they want to give.
Victoria's Secrets, brought to you by the Daily Winnie, brought to you by Victoria's Secrets. I love it.
Whoever wants to pay, that's fine by me. I don't care.
I've got two Daily Winnies. My first one goes out to the cutest couple ever. And they have now been told that they're pregnant, and that is Frankel and Chrysanthemum, the first mare in foal to the champion racehorse as he's entered his first season at stud. Chrysanthemum, a lovely mare, has been in a couple of Group 3 races and ran third in the Pretty Polly in Ireland.
Pretty Potty?
That was funnier. The Pretty Potty. She's by Dane Hill Dancer out of Sadler Wells Mare. So congratulations to Frankel. He has not gone the way of Cigar, and that is, of course, being sterile. So Frankel, he is shooting real bullets. He's not shooting blanks. So congratulations. First mare has been in foal. I think it's like equivalent of about $200,000 American dollars to breed to Frankel. So money hopefully well spent for them, and congratulations.
I'm really impressed that you didn't do a bad pun with the whole chrysanthemum. She's a beautiful flower. I was expecting that, but it never came.
You know what? I was just trying to pronounce chrysanthemum correctly, so.
You have another one?
Yeah. All right, my next Daily Winnie goes out to my dear, my new best friend. Her name is Patty, and she runs Patty's Housekeeping Service, because Patty came to my house yesterday and cleaned the bejesus out of it, because I have like 15 family members descending on my family today, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it all done. I could not do it. And I even told Patty, as she was getting her things together and leaving, I said, Patty, you did a fantastic job. I'm going to tell everybody I did it. My mother arrives today. My mother-in-law gets here tomorrow. My sister-in-law gets here today. Another sister-in-law gets in Friday. My friend Nancy comes from Kentucky on Friday. I have more people descending upon this house, and I don't have anywhere to put them. There's children coming. I don't have any place to put kids. I have a half done nursery, but that's for an infant. I don't know where these people are. I'm like, bring air mattresses. That's all I can say. That's where you're going to sleep. But at least the carpets will be clean when they lay their face down on it. That's what I was thinking.
Well, you know what? This is your official baby shower that's coming up, and you're going to be off on Friday. But Dr. Wendy's going to fill in. She'll also be here in the studio, actually, because she's going to be in Ocala on Friday. So she'll be coming over to do really bad ads for you. What's poor Chad doing with all these women, including in-laws, descending on the house? Did you ship him out? Is he, like, flying his F-16 to, like, some foreign country far away?
I don't think he would have to ship them out. He would just go.
No. He can dream on if he thinks he's going somewhere. This is his family. Thank you very much. My mom's coming, but everybody else is in his family, and his mother's coming, and I'm not taking that by myself.
Well, he kind of is his baby, too, isn't it? Yeah.
He's kind of. It's a girly shower where people, like, you know, I don't know what they do at baby showers. I've only been to one, and I was, like, 12. So I think at baby showers, you, like, you know, pin the tail on the baby and, like, play with diapers. I don't know.
Jamie, you're going to get a ton of gifts. Who cares? Like, that's what it's going to be all about.
Callie, let me point something out. Not one person will get me a new bridle. You know, and that's really what it says.
I don't think the baby's going to really need one for a while. So you'll
Yeah, no. I don't think he's going
to
need a
pony. That doesn't matter to Jamie,
well.
Though, apparently.
No. I'm like, I could use some new carrots britches. I mean, seriously, is that what you guys are getting me for my shower?
We'll send them right over. How big?
That's none of your business.
Oh, I meant for the baby. I wasn't talking about for you.
I want it for me.
All right, let's play a game. We got all kinds of people lined up here. If you still want to get in line, we take a bunch of callers. So if you still want to get in line, it's 347-637-3238. Everybody that's in line, hold on, because we got to do this.
Wheel of Trivia!
That's right. It's time for the Wheel of Trivia. This is how it works. We are going to take callers. You're going to get asked one question from three different categories, which Jamie will go over in a second. And if you get it correct, we spin the wheel and we see what you win. We have all kinds of good prizes on here. As I said earlier, we got carrots and Uncle Jimmy's that have joined the wheel, as well as a ton of other stuff. We also have some crappy prizes. And this week's really crappy prize on the wheel is a three-pack of heavily used bits that Jennifer wants to get rid of. So she's going to ship them out to you if you happen to land on those.
really?
This is how we're getting rid of all our crap that we have lying around. Yep. I love this game. Hard. So that's how it's going to play. If somebody wins, hold on, because we're going to keep doing this till about 9:30. So keep holding on. You have a chance to play and win as well.
Do you want me, because my farrier's coming today, do you want me to save some of the shoes that are pulled off my horse's feet?
No.
You can use that.
Some of the trimmings. That would even be better.
Gross.
We'll call them dog treats.
No. Market that.
We hung up on someone last week, and wasn't it Robin that we hung up on, or I hung up on last week? And I think she's called back. So let's take Robin first from Texas. And Robin, did I successfully get you on the phone?
Yeah, quick, ask me a question before the phone hangs up.
Now, Robin, what horses do you have?
I have a 21-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred. I have a 6-year-old standardbred draft cross, and I have a mini cross that looks like a halflinger pony.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Very good.
He's 9 months old.
Oh, my gosh, how cute is that pony? You have to post a picture of that pony on our Facebook page. A 9-month-old halflinger miniature mix? Oh, my God. I have to see it. We do that.
He's my surprise mini pony.
Oh, Minnie. This is the surprise pony that you didn't know was going to be born.
The surprise pony, yeah.
That's right. Okay, so I want to see, we saw pictures of him as a foal. We want to see him as he's growing up a little bit. So
okay.
I can't wait.
And I just thank you. His bridle pass yesterday, so he should be picture worthy.
Perfect. And I'd like to thank you for representing the off-the-track horses, being a standardbred and a thoroughbred. Go, girl.
Oh,
love
yeah.
It. All right, well. It is time to play Wheel of Trivia. Now, the categories that you may choose from, number one is fractured facts. These are facts about horses. Number two, horse management. things that you would need to know in a horse management type situation. And number three is horses in the morning experts only. These are people that listen to our show, and I don't know why. They listen over and over and over again. They keep coming back. So these are things that you would know if you were an avid listener. So what category would you like?
I think I'm going to have to go with horses in the morning because I'm too afraid with Callie there. I'm going to get some racing question that I'm not going to know.
Are you kidding? Callie doesn't even know the racing question.
Let's not go there, Glenn.
All right, then. I think we're ready, then. Here we go. Here's your question, Robin from Texas. What? Oh, God. I can't believe Glenn did this to me. What is the Preakness Stakes infield party mascot? You have 5 seconds.
Pegasus. Of course, that's him.
Yay!
He is my new favorite mascot.
Kelly just discovered him this morning. I don't have the music, though. I'm really disappointed. I forgot to upload the music.
That is not too bad. It's okay. Robin sang it for you, so you don't need to play it.
We could have her sing it again over and over and over just for you, Jamie.
That is okay, my friend.
I like Jamie too much to do that to her.
That's my girl. Well,
right,
Robin,
we
congratulations. It's time for you to spin the wheel.
All right, here we go. Spinning the wheel. Robin, you did good. You won a $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. Find the universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips at a price you can afford at equestriancollections.com. One of our favorite stores. You'll be able to use that for that little pony donkey mini you've got there.
Definitely not a donkey.
All right, not an evil donkey.
Don't need him attacking me in the night.
Well, you hold on. Jennifer's going to get your address, and we will get the gift certificate out to you from Equestrian Collections. Thank you for playing.
All righty. Thank you.
Good
night. Sorry about last week, just saying.
Sure.
It worked out. She gets to go online shopping, one of our favorite things, when it includes something in the way of equestrian. So
right.
She's going to be fine.
All right, let's take Carol from Virginia next.
Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Hey, Carol. Thank you for calling. Good morning. How are things up in a sunny, beautiful, probably snowy Virginia?
You got the last part right.
Seriously?
You guys have snow? Oh, yeah, about 6 inches, and it's still snowing hard.
So is it – my friend was – I talked to one of my girlfriends who lives in Washington, D.C., obviously not too far from Virginia, and she said that she was, like, praying that they would cancel work and shut down Washington. So did they get the snow that they were hoping for?
I believe the federal government is shut down.
Yay! She's in. She's
they don't need too much of an
pregnant.
Excuse, though.
Yeah, exactly. She's a week less pregnant than I am. So if they shut down the federal government, she's going to have a day with Girl Scout cookies like I did every once in a while.
Well, I hope she enjoys
Carol.
Carol, are your horses
blanketed and toasty warm and they're going to be fine?
Yes, they are.
Okay, good to know. So, Carol, what would your category like to be today? Fractured facts, horse management, or horses in the morning, experts only?
I'll try horse management, please.
Horse management, please. Here we go. You have 5 seconds to answer from the time I finish asking the question. What is hair made up of?
Protein.
That is correct.
Oh, wait, that's wrong one.
Whoa.
Sorry about that. My buzzer's going crazy. I was confused too. You're right. It is protein. What's the other thing?
Protein or keratin, Glenn? We would have accepted keratin as an answer as well. So congratulations, Carol. You are victorious. Let's spin the wheel.
Cool.
Here we go. Keep going. Oh, you just missed the Carrots Breeches by one little doohickey. Okay, so now you won a Shapley's gift pack of MTG, Easy Out, and Magic Sheen. How many horses do you have?
11.
Oh, well, you can get out of this. What kind of horses?
Beg pardon?
What kind of horses? What do you have?
They're Irish draft sport horses.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow, cool.
We need to be friends. We need to be friends.
Right now, Flexible. Right now, Flexible is probably the most famous Irish draft sport horse in the world.
And wow, yeah, I know.
So he does breed proud.
Well, now, Carol, let me tell you about your prize. For 75 years, generations of horsemen around the world have been placing their trust in Shapley's. They offer an extensive line of superior equine grooming products, starting with original MTG. Look for Shapley's full line of products at your local tack supplier and personally experience why so many people trust their horses' care and well-being to Shapley. That's about a $50 value of horse care products that are coming out to you to help take care of that that sport horse of yours.
Or 11. Or 100. So
well, thank
when
you, Carol.
Do
hold
put on. Yeah, when
thank
you put on the MTG on your horse's tail, you will notice the smell of bacon. It is supposed to smell like that. I don't know why. Does anybody know why MTG smells like bacon? Smell like bacon to anybody else? Maybe it's just me.
Maybe because you're a vegetarian? You're dreaming? Or I don't know.
I don't know, but I put it on my horse's tail before because it's really fantastic product, and he smells like bacon. And as a vegetarian, I must say that that type of smell of bacon coming from your horse is not bad. Not bad at all.
Thank you, Carol.
All right. Who's next, Glenn? Congratulations,
Hold on.
Carol.
Jennifer will get your address. All right. Who is next is Jamie from Pennsylvania.
Jamie from Pennsylvania. You've got an obviously very classy name. You're in Pennsylvania, so it makes you a little bit crazy. How are you?
Freezing. that's about the word for it. It's cold here
how much snow did you guys get yesterday?
Not much yesterday. We still have about 3 inches on the ground though. So it was actually kind of warm yesterday. The storm hasn't hit us yet. It's coming.
That is absolutely nothing. Are you kidding me?
Callie's from Wisconsin, so she's used to 3 feet.
Well, I want to ask, though, when you say it warmed up yesterday, how warm are we talking?
38 degrees.
Good God, that's not warm, woman.
It's better
that's
than
like
30 below. Yeah.
True.
I feel ya.
You guys are ridiculous. All right, Jamie, what exactly would you like to play? The categories are Fractured Facts, Horse Management, or Horses in the Morning, Experts Only?
The Fractured Facts.
Fractured Facts. Fractured Facts. Okay, you have 5 seconds from the time I finish asking the question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. In what year was the first Breeders' Cup held? 1925, 1963, or 1984?
I'm sorry, what were the options again?
25, 63, 84. 63.
Oh.
You were so close.
Oh, so close.
You could have asked for a lifeline. I mean, I'm right here.
I didn't
Carol,
know we were allowed
exactly
to have lifelines.
There are no lifelines, Callie. Learn how to play.
I'm just kidding.
It was actually 1984, Jamie. So I am so sorry, but
I gotta say I'm surprised at that. I really thought that the Breeders' Cup's been around longer than that.
Oh no,
so did I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
I would have been with you. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jamie, for playing.
I think I'm on the first.
Give us a call again next week, okay?
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Now,
let's see here.
We going again here?
Yeah, we have more time. Let's see here. I'm trying to see who's next on the list. We have Rachel from California.
Rachel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. A little sleepy.
Yeah, I would imagine. it's so fun to do this segment because we get to talk to people from so many awesome different places. Do you have any snow on the ground in California? Of course not, right?
No, we're in the coastal area. We don't get snow. We have some rain, though. It's a little stormy today.
Oh, you poor thing, getting a little bit of rain when everybody else is like, oh, it was awesome. Warm, so warm at 38. So I do you have horses out there in Southern California?
Well, I'm not Southern California. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. But I do have a horse. Oh. I have a 17-year-old Connemara Arab riding school flunk out.
Nice, nice. I guess they have to go somewhere. So what do you do with said Connemara riding school flunk out?
Well, now because of his arthritis stuff, we do mostly just dressage, but we are getting into that. So,
can I ask a semi-personal question? And it's just a question about horse management in the San Francisco Bay Area. What do you pay for board every month?
Well, since I am barn manager at my barn, I pay nothing.
Okay, what do people pay at your barn?
For a 12 by 24 pipe paddock, I think like you have, a mare motel kind of thing, it's $365.
That's not as bad as I was thinking. I was thinking California, you're going to pay, you know, $800 a month.
Yeah, it's, well, if in the fancy show barn, you would, but we're kind of a trail rider barn, so.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and calling from San Francisco. What category would you like? Would you like fractured facts, horse management, or horses in the morning, experts only?
Experts only.
Oh, look at you.
I love it. Here we go. You have 5 seconds from the time that I finish asking the question.
All right.
What is the nickname given to guys who love My Little Pony?
Bronies.
Ah!
Yay! Good for you. You do listen.
That is correct and still incredibly disturbing that there is a fan club of My Little Pony lovers that are men. Grown men.
I just want to clarify. Can I clarify, though, Jamie? You're not married to one, right? Just checking.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't be married. But whatever, to each his own. Everybody loves something. Congratulations. Are you ready to spin the wheel?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Get it going here. All right, let's go for the carrot breeches.
Yes.
Ah! Okay, today you have won. This is perfect, actually, for you. You said you're just getting into dressage?
Yeah.
Well, you won a book. It's the signed copy of Inside Your Ride, The Mental Skills for Being Happy and Successful with Your Horse by Tanya Johnson. She's been a guest here on the show before, and in this book, Tanya Johnson teaches you how to train your brain to deliver better performances and have more fun on your horse. The author explains how mental skills and training is just as important as physical training, and she gives dozens of tips that will help you focus on things that matter in the show ring. This is a perfect book for a dressage person. You're going to like this book.
Good. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling and getting up so early. Hold on. Jennifer will take your information. Hold on.
All right.
Well, Jamie, seeing we don't have our usual segment next, I think why don't we keep going for a little bit? We got time this morning. What do you think? I'm in the mood for giving stuff away.
All right. Sounds good to me. You know I love giving stuff away. It's my favorite thing about being on the radio. So let's do it. Who are we going to next?
Next, we're going to Jackie. Oh, Jackie called last week and got it wrong. Let's see if we can stump her again.
No,
Jackie Baker.
No. No, he promised he would make you be nice, Jamie.
There are no friends in the Wheel of Trivia, Jackie. Okay. Sorry.
I know. 2 strikes, I might be out after that. We'll see.
No, you get 3 strikes.
It's 3 strikes.
Before we call you a stalker. So you're good. You can keep going. No. All right, Jackie, are you ready? First of all, how's that cute little baby boy of yours?
He's good. He decided to get up really early today, which was kind of rough, but he's napping now, so that's a good thing.
So when they get up early, you can just, like, put him back to bed shortly thereafter?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Today it didn't work so well. Yesterday it worked. Depends on the day.
Okay, because, see, my sister-in-law, if I may just talk baby for a second, is like a schedule person. These children are not allowed to get out of their beds without them asking permission first. They have certain times that they take their naps. They have certain times they go to bed. But she is an amazing super mom. Like, I don't know how she does it all. But you are saying, like, he got up early. I put him to bed at a different time. So you'll have to strictly adhere to a schedule.
He, you know, he's a relatively routine kind of baby anyways. He pretty much always goes to bed at 7, and he used to always wake up at 6:30, but now the new routine is 6. So I'm kind of sort of in between. We do a little bit of scheduling, and he's pretty consistent about it, but sometimes he changes that schedule, and I think we're in the middle of one of those transitions.
And listening to that, to me, I would be like, well, if he's getting up an hour earlier, just put him to bed an hour later. And he'll sleep an extra hour.
See, the problem is hour earlier messes everything up, though, because then he's tired and wants his naps earlier, and then he wakes up from his afternoon nap earlier, which means he's then ready for bed earlier in the evening. So I try to push it, but it's one of those weird things where good sleep encourages good sleep. So, you know, longer sleeping at night, he actually gets better naps, and better naps during the day, he actually sleeps better at night. So it's one of those weird things.
I wish I could nap. That'd be awesome. All right. What category would you like? Would you like fraction sex, horse management, or horses in the morning, experts only?
Well, you know, I struck out with the horse management last week, so I think I'm going to be brave and try fractured facts this time.
Fractured facts. Okay. Now,
give her the really hard one. The one that's marked super hard. Give her that one.
Glenn, I'm going to take the beast on you.
She will too. Okay, well, you have 5 seconds. You have five seconds. Pay attention from the time that I finish asking the question. Here we go. At what equestrian sporting event would one stomp divots?
Polo.
Yay! You got it right this time. Yay!
You
got
it.
Yay! One of my best friends was a polo groom in England and New Zealand, and she actually wrote for some of the international polo magazines, and I read some of her articles. So I'm going to have to thank Lindsay for that one.
You know, when I was thinking of this question and I asked it, I want to know how many other women out there immediately thought of the movie Pretty Woman.
Yes,
where
that
she
was felt the second place.
Exactly. That's how I knew that one.
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Have you ever been to a polo match, Jackie? Have you ever been to one?
What's that?
Have you ever been to a polo match?
I have not.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. It is a great time to go watch because you can back your car right up. You got your tailgate right there, and it's just a blast. It is really
a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know that we've got a whole lot of polo going on here in Northeast Ohio, unfortunately.
That's true. Brazilian polo players are down in southern Florida right now. So.
Yep.
Which is ironically is the area where I'm headed.
You go, girl. One of those, Callie. All right, here we go. Spinning the wheel for you this week, Jackie.
Let's see. Oh, just went by the crappy old pile of bits again. You do. Just what you need, right? Well, you
Darn.
Did win. You're going to love this. You did win Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
You used Uncle Jimmy's products before, haven't you, Jackie?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Well, the Squeezy Buns are the all-natural and loaded with nutritional ingredients for your horse. Unlike similar products on the market, they are individually wrapped to preserve freshness because we wouldn't want Uncle Jimmy's buns getting stale. And with competitive pricing and Uncle Jimmy's quality guarantee, the Squeezy Buns promise to be a hit among horses. These work really, really well for hiding medicine and stuff like that in them, and they work well for dogs that way, too. Our dog loves Squeezy Buns. These are really good stuff. So you're going to get a container of those coming your way.
Well, thanks very much, guys. And, Jamie, thank you for not being too hard on me.
You're welcome, Jackie. Congratulations, and obviously you're still welcome to call next week. It's not like a real radio station where when you call and you win a prize, you can't call back and win for 30 days. We are like, bring it next week. We don't care.
Well, thank you very much.
Talk to you
later.
All
right, Jackie. Bye-bye.
Hold on. Jennifer's going to get your address in case I've lost it. All right, that's about all the time we have today. If you're still waiting on hold, please give us a call back again next week. Give us a call a little earlier. You can start calling at 9 o'clock, and we'll get to you. Sorry if we didn't get to you this week. But what fun. We had only one wrong answer today, didn't we?
Only one wrong answer. Our listeners are so darn smart, it's not even funny. And the fact that she's like, protein. You know what I would have said if you asked me what hair is made up of? I would have said dead cells, because that's what I was told when I was a kid.
That's right.
Hair is made up of dead cells. Do you ever hear that?
Yes. Yes, I did. You're absolutely right. Yep. Because your parents didn't know what it was made of either.
Right. And I'd be like, what is hair? They're like dead cells. And then I always thought hair is gross, and I still think hair is gross, probably because of that. Now, if I'd have known it was protein, some sort of building block of the human body, then I would have been more okay with hair.
All except for, of course, we determined in a previous episode of this show that Carrie Underwood's hair is not bad or is not awful because it tastes like strawberries. Who was it that said they tasted Carrie Underwood's hair at the award show and it tasted like strawberries? Yeah, one of the co-presenters.
Glenn, that was from a dream you had. Okay.
Let's take a break for this.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
Well, thank you to Back on Track products for their continuing support of Horses in the Morning. Well, let's back up a little bit here, Jamie, with Callie. For new listeners to the show, we have new listeners all the time. You are our adopted bug, and a bug is sort of a jockey in training.
A bug is actually an apprentice jockey, but I'll go with bug. You guys can call me bug.
Okay. You're a pre-bug at this point.
Yes, pre-bug.
Pre-bug. Okay. But we're going to call you bug because it's fun. You were working with Todd Fletcher up in Sarasota about 8 months ago?
Saratoga.
That's
Florida.
Yeah.
I graduated from the North American Racing Academy, got an internship from Chris McCarron to Todd Fletcher, and I turned that internship into a job. And I went from down to Florida to up to Saratoga in New York, in upstate New York. It's gorgeous there.
And that's when the accident happened.
That is when the freak accident happened.
Tell everybody what happened if they didn't hear.
Long story short, really nice, even-tempered filly. I think something stung her. She ended up running scared. She chested the rail. I hit my head on the rail, flipped over. She flipped over and landed on me, and I broke my ankle. I have two screws in it right now. And I was off. That happened in early July, and I was off for about seven and a half months, and I just got the approval to ride 2 weeks ago, so back to work, back at it. Went back to my hometown in Marinette, Wisconsin, so that's northern Wisconsin, so I'm very happy to be back in Florida and in the South for a little bit. I just spent that whole time recuperating. I was on crutches for 4 months, and three out of those 4 months, I couldn't put weight on my left leg. I learned the definition of patience, so...
She has some very pretty battle scars, Jamie, on her ankle.
I call them tiger stripes. earning my stripes.
She is. She's official now. I don't think you can be a jockey without having all kinds of scars.
Yeah, I guess not.
Or an eventer, right, Jamie? Nope, I think we might have lost Jamie, actually.
I was going to say, do the screws live in your leg for the rest of your life?
I do have the option of taking them out. Once I get back to New York, and that's where, obviously, my surgery happened. My surgeon did a great job on my ankle, but once I get back there, I'll go back. We'll discuss options, but it would be nice to get them out because I wouldn't want them to complicate anything down the road. They shouldn't bother me if I keep them in for the rest of my life. So it's really up in the air.
Okay, so when you go through airport security, do you beep?
Stainless steel. So
I think I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, yeah, exactly. We'll find. There's only one way to find out, right?
Yeah. Now, how you have complete use of your ankle at this point? It's recovered enough that you're going to start riding one on Saturday?
Yep, I aim to get back to work on Saturday. That's what I told the crew anyway. We'll see how it goes. I've got on a couple horses. I got on my old adventure and racehorse, and he's kind of a strong horse. So, I took him out to our trails and our conditioning trails where I used to condition on him. I let him have it, and, you know, I was in a western saddle with long stirrups, and I could still hold him, so I think I'll be all right. I've been doing a lot of rehab and therapy in the swimming. Like, when I just started to get off of crutches, I swam like 2-3 times a day. My dad used to be a bodybuilder, so I was in the weight room doing some weight training. And then I used to be a gymnast in high school, so I coached in the beginning. And then once I was able to do stuff, I started slowly building myself up. So with the ankle, the way my bone set, it set at the right angle. So the last couple months, it's been, you know, there's been pain, but it's kind of the way it has to go. What I basically have to do is, on top of restretching all those muscles and ligaments and tendons, I also have to reshape the bone. So that's the biggest thing right now. My flexion on my left, which is where my screws are in, it's at 12 degrees, and then my normal one's at 14 to put my heel down and get that anchor down when I'm riding. And my physical therapist said I could crank on it all I want, but at this point there's not much I can do. The rest is up to you. So what I have to do is just kind of crank it down while I'm riding, and it's going to be a bit of a painful 2 months probably, but I think that about that time after that I'll be 100%.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Oh, man. She got to do some fun stuff while you were back home in Wisconsin, though, with your 3 feet of snow. Tell us about dog sledding.
I'll tell you what. I had a blast this last week I was in Wisconsin. I went out with a bang. Last Monday, I went up about 3 hours in Uperland in the UP, and I went dog sledding. And the program that it was, the people, the owners, they were actually at the Iditarod. They run the Iditarod, and my lead dog was a 3-time Iditarod runner. So it was kind of, it's cool. They have about 160 dogs there, and it's run like an operation. So I had a bunch of yearlings and then the lead dog, the old vet.
So you actually get to take your own team out?
I did. I took my own team out. I had 4 dogs on my team, and my dad had 5, and everybody else had 5. I had 4. I guess it has something to do with my weight. I don't know.
What, you're 25 pounds and you only needed 4 babies? So now, do you actually get to drive them? Do you sit in the sled or what?
No, I was standing.
Standing?
Yep, I was standing. And
in the sled?
Yeah, standing on the back of the sled, holding on. I almost fell off, but not enough. I had some pretty good balance at that point, so I kept it solid on the snow ground. So,
do you actually have reins, and what are they hooked to?
No, I've got nothing. It's my voice.
It's just the voice.
Okay. Yep.
So there's no control.
Oh,
the dog.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. It's all by my foot. There's actually brakes in the back. It's like a snowmobile ski track, and you put weight on that, and it just pulls the dog back. And then you just have, several of your emergency brakes. I didn't have to use them, but
they just take into the snow.
Yeah, they just take into the snow, and it stops the dogs. But as soon as you put your brake on, and we had to stop a couple times, we actually had a little head-on collision with another group going. But as soon as you put weight off, that light, the sled, they just go for it. There was a guy in front of me. He actually he stopped the dogs, and then he went to go help out the other guy, and he just walked off the sled, and the dogs just took off. It was it was hilarious.
Was he chasing his sled?
He was. It was a pretty funny sight.
Well, there's something not everybody gets to do.
Yeah. So if you're in the area, if you happen to be up in Uperland, Nature's Kennel, go for it.
And then you got to go to tell Jamie about the concert.
Oh, I went out, let's see, it was last Thursday. Luke Bryan came to Green Bay at the Rush Center, and I went and spent money, and I splurged on a really nice seat, and I was actually right on the stage. I was right, not on the stage. I wish I was on the stage. I would have loved to have, like, a shakedown contest with Luke Bryan. I could totally bring it. But
Country girl, thank you for me. There you go.
Thank you. Yes. It was just a big dance fest. But honestly, I found out the concert because I'm a huge fan of Florida Georgia Line. So I found out that they were going to be there, and Luke Bryan was kind of a bonus. So, Florida Georgia Line people, it's going to be the album of the summer. Listen to them. Good music, good stuff. Luke was great. And then Thompson Square was also there. I actually didn't get to see Thompson Square because I was busy getting an autograph from Florida Georgia Line. They were all, it was great. It was way cool. Luke Bryan's butt was, like, in my face almost the entire time. Like, it was great. It was awesome. Dance
for me. He's like really tall and really good looking, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's like really hot. And the guys from Florida Georgia Line are ridiculous as well, right? They're so hot.
Yeah, it's just, I love their music. Like, if you want to get this girl dancing, like, just put on Florida Georgia Line. I'm just in love with their music. But yeah, they were great. Performers. They really got into the crowd. They're really about their fan base, as well as Luke. Like, Luke really, he put on a great show. He's taking pictures from fans and taking pictures of himself with the fans and all kinds of stuff. So that was great. And yeah,
that's the one thing you get at a country music concert that you don't get at a pop concert or a rock concert is the interaction with the performer and the audience. Like, I remember going to see Shania Twain, and as frustrating as it was for those of us that were way in the back, those that got right up front, she was, like, walking around signing autographs while she was singing and, like, snapping pictures with people while she was singing. And that's so common in the country music world is the fact that you have such good fan interaction. And immediately after the concert, I would imagine, or before they sang, they're out there signing autographs. So you got to go line up and meet them?
Yeah, I actually registered for a meet and greet with them, but I'm not sure if they do that anymore because I never got an email response back, and they just said, hey, you know, we're signing autographs, and that was really my opportunity. But they're coming, Dirt Road Diaries tour is coming back in Saratoga in late August, and I am bringing my friend, and I'm definitely going again because it was such a blast. Definitely.
Now tell Jamie what they signed of yours.
Oh, well, I didn't want them to. I didn't.
No, this is safe.
It's safe. Otherwise, Glenn wouldn't have brought it up. Since I was leaving the state like 2 days later and I'm moving to a different state, I'm not going to have them sign like a stupid ticket stub. So I just had them sign the back of my Wisconsin driver's license.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
No.
Isn't that funny?
That's awesome. And you know what? Those guys right now are like, hey, remember when that crazy girl that was stalking us and like showing us her boobs, like had us sign her driver's license?
I said they probably signed some very interesting things.
If they would remember me for anything, it was probably my dancing. My dancing was appreciated by them, I think. And then my belt buckle. I wore my huge belt buckle there. So that's probably.
The belt buckle's as big as you. I saw a picture of you in your belt buckle.
Yeah. You know what? I actually won that belt buckle.
What? Where?
I was back in 2010. I was qualifying with my quarter horse pony for youth world and youth jumping. So, of course, I would have a belt buckle that says jumping on it. So, yeah,
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're going to talk more to...
Hold on. Let me just... You're how old, Callie?
22.
Oh, God. To be 22 again and be standing in line for autographs wearing a cute little belt buckle, all skinny and stuff. Oh,
oh my God.
What would we give?
Really, Jay? Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you'll be
really.
Skinny again in no time, Jamie. About three months.
I miss it so much.
Let's take a break. We have a special series starting here on the Horse Radio Network that Jennifer helped put together with Thin Line Products. And it's a special four-part series on leg protection. You know how we did the one on helmets? Well, this one is on leg protection and on horse boots. When to use them, you know, when do you need them, all of that kind of thing that we're going to learn along the way over the next 4 weeks. So let's take a listen. Jennifer headed up this one. And then we're going to be playing a little song right after that. And this song is for Callie. We dedicated this to her. It's Templeton Thompson, Run for the Roses, because someday we are going to be at Churchill Downs. Jamie, Jennifer, and I, and Chad's going to be there too, and the little baby. And we're going to be watching you ride a horse in the Kentucky Derby.
I have so many people telling me that they're going to do that. Like, I'm probably going to have, like, two or three coach buses full of people.
Yeah, but we want the free tickets. You're not giving them to your family.
Well, okay. All right, then.
There we go. Here's the special series.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Jen, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for this first in a four-part series on leg protection for your horse, produced in cooperation with Thinline Global. In this series, with the expert help of Elaine Lockhead, we'll cover all aspects of equine leg protection, and today we start with who needs it and why. A good place to start would be, why do horses need leg protection, and what types of horses need leg protection? I guess we should start at the beginning, eh?
I think so. Well, the reason why horses need leg protection, you know, with horses, they were evolved in the wild, and so you'll find wild horses to be differently built than horses that we see today. So through our programs, we have done a lot to change the horse's conformation. But really, even in the wild, horses have no tissue around primarily their splint bone, but as well as around their tendons and ligaments in their lower legs. And if you look at most creatures of flight typically have nothing to protect their lower legs. So it probably has something to do with speed and allowing them to run quickly. But since now what we're doing with our horses is we're breeding them differently and we're using them much differently than they were really meant to be used in the wild. In the wild, they would just sprint a little bit and that would be it. So what has happened is that really all horses need some type of leg protection. A lot of people think that it's really the competitive horse that needs leg protection, but through our research, we've discovered that even more frequently, you see injuries in the kind of backyard trail riding horses. You see more injuries in those horses than you do in competition horses.
Really?
One reason is that, yeah, you do. One reason is that the competition horses are booted more frequently because they're, you know, they cost a lot more money, so people are more likely to work to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
But horses that are backyard trail riding horses, there's a couple of things that are going on. One, these horses typically are not as fit as competition horses, so the riders are, generally weekend riders. So they get out and ride their horse for a couple hours on the weekend. Everybody goes on a hack and has a wonderful time. But the horse's fitness level isn't as high. So when they get warm is when their tendons tend to give. So you get a lot of tendon injuries when the horses get a little bit more tired. Additionally, when the horse get a little more fatigued and you're out on the trail, they're a little more likely to bump themselves than they are at any other time when they're fresh out of the barn. Usually they don't do that. But as with any of us, if we're running and we begin to fatigue, that's when we tend to get injuries. So the everyday kind of riding that people do, it's very simple to offer a leg protection for your horse that will do through, depending on the product you select, will do many, many things for the horse. It can either protect them just from bumps. It can protect the splint bone, which is one of the highest incidents of injuries because it's a very thin bone and it's very easy to break. So a lot of people only protect the splint bone, but there are also boots available that will actually support the entire tendon structure of the lower leg. Now, something people often don't think about is turning horses out. Very often we find that horses are injured more out in the paddock than they are in the riding ring. And a couple of things happen. You know, people don't want to boot their horses when they're out in the pasture because they're afraid of heat retention.
Oh,
yeah. You have to be very careful to choose a product that is not going to sit and bake on the horse's leg. And there are not a lot of products available where you can do that. And people also worry a lot about people who are in hotter climates, particularly if you're in a hot and humid climate, then you also get a lot of skin disease when you boot horses because it just, you put the boot on and it gets hot and some materials like neoprene will actually retain bacteria in it and will, if not create, at least accelerate things like fungus on the legs that are called scratches, or rain rot, or called mud fever in Europe. So there are some products on the market that will actually kill the bacteria on the skin and create healthier skin. So you can turn a horse out in leg protection, so when they go out and act silly in the pasture, they don't hurt themselves.
Yeah, and they're good at that, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be extremely good at that. And so there are some options available. People, you know, are now beginning to turn out more in boots as well as riding in them. So, you know, there are just a lot of different styles of boots on the market that are focused on specific disciplines and focused on specific actions of the horse and then barn or stable care for the horse as well.
That's very interesting. I hadn't thought of many of those aspects about and heat retention and the materials that the boots are made of, being able to help the skin stay healthy. Those are all very interesting points. Thank you so much, Elaine, for enlightening me. Tell folks where they can find ThinLine online, because I noticed you have a great technology page that talks a lot about how materials work.
Yes, we're very lucky to have run into this material about a decade ago. You can find it at thinlineglobal.com. Our technology is, we have a open cell foam that behaves different than anything in the world. So it's able to be very thin, very effective, very breathable, and moldable. You want the horses to be able to move their legs and feel free and, you know, be forward and happy. And so that moldability, the ability for this boot to actually act like it was made exactly for your horse is one of the technology points assigned on our technology page.
Thank you once again for enlightening us on who needs boots and why, and there's lots to it there. And this, as I said at the beginning of this is a four-part series, and this is part one. So stay tuned, folks, for part two, three, and four, because we're going to talk a lot about how the boots function and which kinds do what kind of job. And thank you once again to Elaine Lockhead for sharing your expertise, and thank you to ThinLine Global for helping Horse Radio Network put this series together. You can find them at thinlineglobal.com.
Hi, Glenn here, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I'm featuring a new product called the Horse Neoprene Pad for Cross Surcingles. This is something that you've never seen before, or at least I never saw it before. It's a little pad. It's about, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches square, and it's got holes all around the edge. What you do is you thread your surcingle on your blanket through one side and then through the other side, and then you take the other surcingle and thread it through the the opposite ends of holes. And what happens is your surcingle stays where it's supposed to. If the horse would happen to get one of those T-rings loose in the on the surcingle, he doesn't step on it because it never hits the ground. And if you, when you go to hook them up, you don't have to go pushing around underneath there looking for the surcingle because guess what? They're right together underneath the blanket. It costs $3.20, and it is such a time saver and a safety measure. Highly recommend it. We use them here. We just couldn't believe it when we put them on and said, hey, man, this works.
So now, does it also cover up the buckle? It looks like it might cover it up.
No, no, it doesn't go by the buckle. It goes underneath the horse.
Ah,
so, see, you thread the surcingles through each side, and it makes an X, and the X is right underneath the horse, wherever you can adjust it, wherever you want it. And so then when, and, you know, they're always going to have one of those little T-rings come loose.
Right.
It doesn't hit the ground. So it's a safety feature.
Huh, that's terrific. And all for $3.20, just go to equestriancollections.com and search for Horace Neoprene Pad.
Yeah, it's really unique. Unique product. Look for it.
Could never prepare you for what might
was Templeton Thompson in Run for the Roses. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track Products. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jennifer is in the producer chair. We have a special guest in the studio. We have Callie with us, our adopted bug. We've been chatting with her all morning. She's been helping out. Thank you, Callie.
Of course.
Appreciate it. And, of course, really bad ads this Friday. Jamie's not going to be here. She's too busy doing baby things and entertaining about half the female population of the United States in her house. So what we're going to do is Dr. Wendy Ying is going to sit in. She'll be over here at the studio as well. And so we're going to be doing really bad ads with her. Two prizes this week that you're going to be playing for. A one-year membership to Monty Roberts Equus University worth over $120. Learn from the master horseman who continues to be at the forefront of effective, gentle horse training techniques. People have called Monty's book From My Hands to Yours, the Bible of Horse Training. For you visual learners, Monty's Equus University is the holy grail of learning. They have 235 different video lessons over there, and it's just a terrific thing. It's well worth it. So you're playing for that worth over $120, plus a pair of Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls with shipping. That's a value of $50. Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls are the perfect long-lasting, boredom-reducing horse treat for your horse. He or she will spend hours trying to lick and grab this entertaining ball. I didn't write this copy. Uncle Jimmy did. Not only is it the alternative to the Jolly Ball, it's great tasting, packed with vitamins and minerals, and essential for the horse's everyday needs at uncle-jimmy's.com. I did not write that, Jamie. It was Uncle Jimmy who wrote that for us. So just reading what I wrote.
I wish I had the ability to take clips out of that and just replay them just at random spots, like, grab your balls.
And now it's time we're going to go from talking about balls to talking about poop. Yes, that's
right. Hoping to be castration. It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Yes, well, we are talking about poop today.
Lord.
It's one of your favorite topics. It's every man's favorite topic. So, but somehow I think they'll find a way to gross you out. We'll see.
Now I have to say the March 2013 issue, it should be in your mailboxes. And this is not only one of our stories, but this is our cover story in the March issue of The Horse. And it takes a lot to find a cover-worthy horse poop photograph.
Picture? Only with thehorse.com would you be like, oh, what was your cover model for the month of March? Well, it was a big pile of poop.
It was poop. But poop is important. And so Dr. Jones is here, Dr. Aaron Denny Jones, to help us talk about this in a tactful, tasteful way.
Hey, Dr.
Jones.
Then
I better put myself
beautiful.
On mute.
There you go. Exactly.
Oh, please join in. No, I'm just thinking Jamie has that baby on the way, and my sister with my nephew, man, all they talk about is baby poop.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's all you talk about as a mom is did they poop and how much they pooped and how often
really?
They're changing the poop. And, oh, yeah, poop talk is common.
And so, and
geez. We got that to look forward to on the show for all you listeners out there in about 3 months.
And really, with our horses, it's the same thing. Poop is an indication of health.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna start out by sharing some quick facts on horse poop. Glenn, did you know that the average horse produces 9 tons of manure every year?
9 tons.
I know that. I do know that, and I'll tell you why. Because right now we're looking at having our manure removed that we have piled up for the year for our one horse, and it's going to take a very large container to do it. So, yes.
There's a lot of it. A lot goes in, a lot comes out. The average mare or gelding poops 6 to 8 times per day. A stallion or a foal can do double that.
Oh.
Why
get anything else done?
Why does a stallion poop more than an ungelded, a gelded horse?
You know, Dr. Jones may have more insight on this. My understanding is that it has to do with marking and creating their rough patches.
You're spot on. It's for marking, and the baby is mocking or mimicking the mares that they are around, so they will poop in the same pile with the mares as well. So it looks like they're marking, but they're mimicking.
Yeah. So, So, and I know with my horses, the way I know that my horse is healthy is that he has his poop piles, and he has a certain amount of poos in each place in his paddock. And so I want to start out, Dr. Jones, and ask you, what is the horse's manure telling us about their state of health?
Oh, my goodness, where do I start? A lot. It tells a lot about the horse. The big thing is counting the numbers. So you mentioned that right off the bat, Michelle, and that's fantastic, is knowing where they poop and how much they poop. And I know this sounds very tedious, but picking up that poop on a daily or at least weekly basis, especially in the paddock, putting it somewhere else, you can start noticing that even when they're not in their stall and they're out in the paddock, if your horse is still passing normal manure, or is it getting slower, less piles, or is it becoming more watery, or what, you know, does it have a certain smell to it, consistency, size of manure pile. So the tedious part of picking up manure is not only for parasite control, but it's also for monitoring your horse's health.
So what does it mean when our horses have watery poop or diarrhea?
Usually if it's a straight shoot,
bad chicken
water,
from the night before,
diarrhea, as we call it, painting the walls, those horses will also be
sick.
You
had to paint that picture, didn't you? Oh,
they also be very, very sick at the same time. They're not going to be painting the walls and still eating like normal and greeting you out the stall door with their ears up and perky and bright eyes if they truly have an infectious disease problem. So a lot of diarrhea, as we see in horses, which is like a loose manure where they have fecal balls, but it's a little bit loose and some water comes with it, or maybe a cow patty, those two don't necessarily mean infectious, because they're pretty much looking at you eating, they're looking bright, they're looking very alert, they're happy. That's just other problems, such as maybe a change in diet. Recently, you've got new spring grass coming in. It's a little richer, so it's a little harsher on the digestive system. You switch to more alfalfa in your hay. That can make it a little bit richer for those horses. Or maybe adding some products to your grain, or upping your grain may make it a little bit richer for them. So it's a management thing in that respect, that might be a little looser. The other thing we worry about here in Florida, and there are some other states that have to worry about it, Arizona is another one for Jamie, is sand. And sand will make their manures loose. So when I get a call from a client here in Florida, and they say that my horse has diarrhea, it's cow patty or even worse, but yet they're still eating, they don't have a fever, they're acting normal, the first thing I think of is sand, because sand won't let the manure ball up into fecal balls. It breaks it apart. It can't hold it together. And so those horses are usually very loose, and that means you either fell off your desanding program or you need to up it to a better program.
What about horses that are kind of nervous in temperament? Is a little bit of loose stool in those horses normal, or is that something that the owner should be concerned about?
Absolutely. It's nothing to be worried about. Usually at their own home, they're fine. They don't have that much looseness to their stool. You put them on a trailer, and they're immediately going to cow patty manure. They're at a show. They're getting it all down their tail, that kind of thing. So, yes, those horses are passing the manure fairly quickly and unable to make fecal balls, and it's just a nervous reaction. The thing you do have to worry about, and you did mention it earlier with foals, is if foals have diarrhea and it's watery diarrhea, they're ones you have to be more worried about. The adults can usually compensate by drinking more. The foals have such a fine balance of their system that a little bit of water loss can cause some major problems with them.
Okay. And Glenn mentioned.
I'm sorry, just about the loose stools when they're traveling or showing and getting all over their tail or getting all over their butt. Is there anything that you can give them preemptively, like an anti-stool?
Really?
Are you still there?
I lost you there, Jamie, but I'm thinking you're looking for, like, a horsey Imodium.
Yes, yes.
Well, our big help is usually hay. Hay helps if it's a grass hay, not the alfalfa or a peanut. But just a good grass hay helps to bulk up the manure is what we tell people. So it helps to make it come together a little bit better. There is better probiotics and prebiotics that are on the market now. The old-fashioned ones, I'll tell you right now, were really made for the foals, not for adult horses. So those syringes you see out there tend to not necessarily work perfectly on the adult horses, so don't put a lot of stake into them. There are newer products that have been out that have better claims and actually do work on the adult horse digestive system and can bulk them up. And then there's a couple products on the market that help firm up those horses, and you might be able to put them on them when you're going out for shows or trail riding.
Okay. And Glenn mentioned bad chicken. When we humans eat chicken and get sick, lots of times it has to do with salmonella. Is salmonella an issue with horses as well?
Yes, it is. And that's now we're getting
into. I was right after all.
We're getting into the infectious type. So there's a couple reasons for infectious diarrhea. Salmonella is the most common one. Another one is what we all call the Potomac horse disease and some of the horses in the Maryland area, and we've seen it in some other states as well, where they get, as we call it, roaring diarrheas, painting the walls again. The salmonella is always in the digestive tract of a horse. It's always in the environment that the horse lives in. So it's nothing new. It's not like one horse got salmonella and the horse standing next to it doesn't have it. A lot of times it becomes more exacerbated in a stressful situation. We see it post-colic surgery, so that's very stressful. They just had colic surgery.
So
they're in a hospital.
So, Dr. Jones, they're not getting it from a product like we would eat chicken and get, you know, or bad lettuce or whatever. Are they getting it from a product? They're not getting it from hay. They're not getting it from grain necessarily?
No, necessarily they're getting it from the environment they live in, but they pass it through. They can stand small doses of it and come in and go out of their system, but if they get stressed out, it will allow it to proliferate, and you'll get these roaring diarrheas, and it's seen in stressed-out horses. So,
do you know if we put all of these horse.com segments together that we've done since for almost 2 years now and played them all back to back, nobody would ever own a horse?
As my husband says on a daily basis, how did they ever live without a veterinarian?
Exactly.
Well, and I have to interject, and this is along the poop line, but just last weekend we shot a 6-part series on deworming horses and strategic deworming. And I came out of that just terrified for my horse after going through all the internal parasites. So my fecal test is on the way to my horse's fecal tests are on the way to the lab.
Yes, and that is a good point you just made. We always put an announcement out. We do fecal tests here in Southeast Florida or Southeast United States per the parasitologist in the area. We do them primarily twice a year. In April and October is the best recommended time. They say that enough parasites die in the summer. We don't need to worry about it as much. And I'll tell you from experience, we have seen some horses come up with a very high count of parasites in the summertime here in Florida. So I wouldn't completely discount it. But the primary time we send emails out to our clients to remind them to get their fecals done is April and October, and we were told by our client to make sure that we put horse fecals done because we said we're sending you a reminder to get your fecals done, and a few people found that quite humorous because we didn't state it was a horse fecal.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, and along those lines, my understanding is that parasite burdens can cause diarrhea as well. Has that been your experience,
yes.
Dr. Jones?
Yes, yes. There's a couple culprits. Tapeworms are one. Small strongyles are another. And those are ones that you want to look for. The tapeworms, there's one particular type of fecal test you can do for that. Small strongyles, there's a different one you do. The general one is called the McMaster's fecal test. And the, believe it or not, pharmaceutical companies are very much pushing for everybody to do these fecal exams or fecal testings on horses, because they feel we have no more products to kill these parasites and we're going to get superbugs or super parasites that are going to ignore the dewormers in the future. So they're recommending fecal tests now rather than just periodic deworming.
So I think we could have done a whole segment today just on diarrhea, but we still need to cover solid poop and what that means.
Yes, well, solid poop would be normal, but then you have the too firm of poop.
So if the poop is too firm or we get constipation, what can that lead to?
Well, the constipation is usually a colic. It's impaction. And that's my best way to describe what an impaction is. It's a major constipation, but it's not one of those that you would experience. In a horse, it can be a lot further forward in their digestive tract than closer to the exit. So those impactions need to be addressed and taken care of over a 24 to 48 hour period. Depending on how firm they are, they may require more than just your usual Banamine and mineral oil tubing on your horse. They may require another visit by your veterinarian or maybe a visit to a local clinic and or hospital for a little more medical management, usually not surgery, but there are some that have required surgery. The other thing that you want to be cognizant of is when the manure comes out and you can step on it and get a feeling, is it harder than the one next to it, the pile next to it? Of course, granted, the dried up ones are going to be harder, but if it's a newer, fresher pile, they should be, you know, easy to step on and break apart. But if they're pretty hard, they may have like a really whitish covering to them, sometimes a yellowish covering, but they have a kind of a funky covering over the top of them, a film. And that film can be mucus. And what that is it's been manure that has sat inside the digestive tract a little too long, and they collect basically the lining, per se, of the intestinal tract and bring it out with them. And that tells you that you may have a impaction coming along, or you're now starting to work through the impaction and some of the manure is coming out and it's going to have this coating to it. Other things I've seen that have been really, really firm is I've actually seen wadded up grass come out. We have a fancy name for them called a bizarre, and they come out looking like a wad of grass with some fecal material holding it together. And those are for horses that have poor dentition, usually the aged horses, because we have a lot of them now in our life, and they don't quite chew that grass. They swallow it whole, and it comes out the other end, not quite digested very well. And then I've actually had horses pass sandballs that look like snowballs, sandballs.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are
really?
Pretty amazing. Oh, yeah. Those are pretty amazing. I am
are they hard
very
or soft,
amazed when I see that. They're hard. They'll break apart, but they're hard. It's scary when you see it, but it's amazing.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jones, for being willing to talk about this really important, this really important topic. It's really important that our horses have nice, healthy bowel movements.
Yes,
and
it is.
I apologize
is.
To everybody who was about to eat breakfast or lunch this morning. And you just look at it this way, you'll lose weight.
And hey, we're all out there. We all clean it up every day. We clean it off our horses' tails and their legs. We horse people are pretty hardy bunch.
Can I
so.
Just say, from
seriously?
A horse husband's point of view, that there's nothing worse than when your horse gets diarrhea in the trailer and you get to the horse show and your wife says, "Can you clean out the trailer quick?"
Yeah. I think the worst job is cleaning the tail afterwards, but that's just me.
I agree. I think the tail is worse than the trailer. And if you're working in a horse as a veterinarian and you get swatted with that tail.
Oh!
You got tiger stripes too, just like Kelly did.
Exactly.
Nice. But if you want to learn more about what your horse's poop is telling you, the color of the poop, the texture, the consistency, this article that Stacey Oak wrote for us in the current issue of The Horse is really fantastic. There's some pictures if you need some photo examples. We also have a diarrhea fact sheet online. So if you go to thehorse.com, go to free reports, and under that, search for diarrhea, and you'll find a fact sheet that outlines a lot of what Dr. Jones has talked about as far as infectious disease. Also some in there about possible cancers in the intestines and antibiotic-caused diarrhea. So check that out. Thank you again. And before we go, I want to let everyone know that we on thehorse.com are having a special equine herpes virus event on Thursday. It's an Ask the Vet Live, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up for that now to register. We're going to be talking to some leaders in epidemiology and in treating neurologic diseases in horses. So register
nothing
for that.
So
it's coming
special.
Up quick. It's a
Nothing says special like equine herpes. I mean, yep. Come on. Very special.
It's a very special event.
Very special herpes event. Everybody come and have some herpes with us.
And you talk, and you say that I'm sick.
Oh, girl. See, as soon as you talked about the snowball poop thing, I was like, little Debbie snowballs. Like, whatever. I'm pregnant. I want everything to eat. All right, you guys. Thank you so much. Horse.com, FloridaEquine.com. Again, we'll talk to you all next week. Thank you for joining us.
Right. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right. Wow.
That was funny.
I'm hungry all the time.
I don't know if I'm going to eat lunch after that today. That was like, oh, man. We've all had horses that have had diarrhea. Ugh. It's awful. Anyway, that's a way to end your show with us there, Callie, huh?
Good Lord.
I don't think Callie's going to eat for a week.
Well, good thing I'm on the road and I just don't have to even think about eating.
Well, that's it for today. Jamie, what's that? Yeah, yep. Go ahead.
I just wanted to give a shout-out. One of my friends last week, he stole my phone, gave it back to me, and said, congratulations, you have a Twitter. And what I wanted to kind of do is bring a little bit behind the scenes on the backstretch, and that's what I would mainly use it for. So if you want to give me some love, follow me at Miss Francois to you, MissFrancois, number 2, letter U.
Very good.
Miss Francois, well, to you. Nice.
Isn't that cute? Well,
that
and
cute.
Jamie, good luck this week. Have a blast with all of your friends and family, and hopefully you get all the exact gifts, exactly what you haven't bought already and need.
Prayers your way, woman.
Again, I'm just hoping for that brand new bridle. Here we go. Come on, baby bridle. All right, you guys, thank you very much. Have everybody, thanks for calling in today at the Wheel of Trivia. If we didn't get to you, please call in next week. If we did get to you and you were a big fat loser, just kidding, call us next week as well. Or if you won, call us next week. Either way, we will be here with more prizes for the Wheel of Trivia. Get in your really bad ads, and everybody have a great one. I'll talk to y'all Monday morning. Spay, neuter, and yelp, people.
Send your really bad ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Wendy and I will be here live on Friday morning. Thank you, Callie. Everybody say bye, Callie.
Bye, guys. Have
bye,
a great week.
Callie.
Thanks for joining us.